Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
What an absolute delight to be joined by the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. That is Caleb Williams. How has this thing been going for you, Caleb?
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Former WNBA star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming, and Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy landing. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
Sure.
Every week.
670.
Shout out to the host.
This has been an emotional freaking roller coaster, you guys.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Stacey Dales. She joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. And Stacey, not just in London, I believe she's taken up residence there. She's been in London for some time. Sure, your body clock's all set for the big match come Sunday, Stacey. How are you?
Good. Good morning to you guys, or afternoon. It's 3 o'clock here, so we're 6 hours ahead. It's been a good trip so far. It did take me a little longer to adjust, but we're looking forward to a, you know, hopefully good game. The Bears are playing pretty good football right now. Offensively is where we kind of all had our eyes and our target. And you know, it was interesting to be in production meetings with the Bears. We'll have the Jags tomorrow, who are coming off their first win, and hopefully they can give us a good game.
So you've been there a while. You are an experienced traveler. So in that context, Stacey, how do you think the delay in the Jaguars travel experience, waiting until today to arrive because of the Hurricane Milton and other factors, but they did decide to delay their departure, will that have any effect on the game, do you think?
Well, this is what they typically do. As you guys know, the Jaguars are not unfamiliar with this trip. They've done it a lot. This will be Trevor Lawrence's fifth start, which is tied for the most all-time in London alongside Blake Bortles. And this was their plan all along. Remember, they play next week against the Patriots. So they knew it was going to be a week-and-a-half trip regardless. And I think they tried to keep the schedule that they've typically used in flying Thursday and landing on Friday. I have talked to some Jags personnel here today on the phone, and they said it was really good travel. It was only delayed, you know, a few hours. So, you know, by and large, it shouldn't hinder them too much, given they know what this feels like when you travel a little bit, you know, later in the week. But as you guys know, the Bears traveled on Monday, got here Tuesday, and so they've been, you know, pretty well acclimated to this stage as they put their final touches on practice today. And I'm at their facility right now.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think it's curious when you kind of read some of the background stories on it, that there is no kind of set proven methodology to getting there early, getting there late, and how it impacts winning. I think that generally speaking, I believe The Athletic did a story that said that the team that gets there first tends to do better, but it's not sort of a lockdown. And as you mentioned, with the Jags in particular, they're so used to going over, and they're staying. They got two games in one trip here, so it's not like they're rushing to get back, and they know they're going to be in London for another week.
Yeah, and I really think, too, it's these games are always early in the season, Mully and Haw, and like, you know, you're going into week six right now, and you're still figuring out what your identity is, and that goes for both teams. I mean, the Jaguars are coming off their best performance. You know, Trevor Lawrence had short of 400 yards against the Colts. His receiver, Brian Thomas, had a career high in receiving yards, and yet they're giving up a ton of yards through the air defensively. And, you know, when you look at the Bears, they're starting to figure things out because, you know, as you know, we spent time with Matt Eberflus, one of the messages early, besides just being patient and letting this thing evolve, and there's a lot that goes to that, is like, take the layups. And he literally told us that in our meetings, if you're Caleb Williams, and he's starting to take the layups. The run game has, you know, been able to operate with a little bit more of a firm pocket. And now you're seeing some of the better throws with a little bit more distance and mustard on them from Caleb. And, you know, it's been some interesting takeaways for me as far as what the messaging has been. One of the big takeaways is how much more dialogue and how much more of a voice Caleb is having with his team and his offense. I mean, it's substantial to me, actually. I mean, they're now kind of holding in practice, after practice meetings as a group in terms of him with Caleb, specifically with Keenan, Rome, and DJ. And, you know, in spending some time with DJ, they had to fix some things. You know, it wasn't just the Colts game in week 3. It was really the Houston game, and came out of that sort of with this, you know, transparent, like, honesty check of, you know, we have to figure out how to communicate. And one of Eberflus's messages to Caleb along the way has been, you've got to go to your guys. You are the conductor of this thing, the orchestrator of it. And his voice has come alive. And so you're seeing just a more decisive quarterback. And, you know, there's so many other stories that go to it. But then you go to the Indianapolis game and the gut check they had after that game. And that's when all the accountability conversations came about. I'll go back to you, but if you want me to revisit it with Mercedes Lewis and just how that all unveiled. And now here we are. And gosh, he's coming off a career high passer rating and threw a couple touchdowns against the Panthers.
This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. So let's explore that a little bit, Stacey. The more time you spend with Caleb Williams, you've been around this team for a long time and you've seen his growth. We're seeing what the product on the field, and the biggest thing is that he's protecting the football and also commanding the line of scrimmage. Those are tangible factors. Intangibly, what do you see in the way that he just handles himself, and is he much different than the quarterback who came into camp? Did we lose Stacey?
I don't know if we...
Stacey. Decisive.
There we
yeah.
go.
There you are. I'm sorry.
You got me?
Yep.
Yeah, he's just a lot more decisive. And I think when you have that, you know, he's not afraid to go out there, as he explained it, and mess up, and he just wants to have fun with it. But he's also just more attuned to the conversations that he's had and the reps they're getting. You know, DJ told us one of his touchdowns, I think it was the post-route on Sunday against the Panthers, they had repped that in practice, and they didn't connect on it. And Caleb was able to come back to him because of their correction during the game and say, we're going there and I'm throwing it, so go. Hmm. And so those conversations are really important. The other thing I think that, as Mercedes Lewis told me, they came out of that. You guys know how bad the Colts game was, where he threw it 52 times. He ran it. They actually ran it a bunch. They had a lot of possession. He was leading the league in pass attempts. One of the things that Mercedes did is he went to Matt Eberflus and he said, you got to coach us. We have to be coached. I'm a 19-year vet in the NFL, and if you can coach me, you got to coach these rookies. Like, there has to be something that shifts. So all the offensive captains went to Flus, and he then said, you guys need to go to Shane Waldron, and you need to tell him this. Well, that was an amazing meeting, and one of the things I discovered is they didn't have a first 15. So they were going in with ideas to start their games, but not really having, I mean, the first 15 to 20, Kyle Shanahan goes 25. So that's like, you know, priority calls that you can go to that are so scripted and rehearsed. It's very error-free football. Kevin O'Connell does 20 in Minnesota. Well, they've started now doing a first 15, and I think it has brought the offensive line together with the run game, together with, you know, the cohesiveness with the perimeter game. And now you're seeing a little bit more of, I don't know if you guys would agree, a little bit more polish as we enter week 6. Mm-hmm. And I think just that helps with the decisiveness of the quarterback, who has had to learn the speed of the NFL, which is typical for a rookie, and adjust on the fly with 5 seconds at the line of scrimmage. So I just think dialogue has been such a big part of improvement for Chicago offensively. And gosh, you know, the defense is happy about it.
So I'm sorry. So you said that they started the season without any plays mapped out for them, like teams have done since, I don't know, Paul Brown? That surprises mm-hmm. me. And they only just started yeah. doing it after the players' meeting we're talking about.
Well, yeah, after the Colts game, it's my understanding, yeah. as I talked to Mercedes Lewis, that, you know, Shane was more so looking for, like, he had suggestions, and, you know, this is new for him, too. He's got a rookie quarterback. And so I think, like, what can he handle may have gone into that without necessarily overwhelming. But, you know, I was shocked by it, to be honest with you, Molly. I was really surprised because it's almost vital for so many, you know, for these quarterbacks to have, like Kevin O'Connell calls it a priority call sheet. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't follow it sequentially. Right. So as he explained it to me last week, because I had their game last week, it might be, we're going to go the first, you know, the second, number two and number three on the priority call sheet of 20, and then we're going to jump to 17. And it's all based on down and distance. It's all based on coverage. What coverage are they in? What formation are they in defensively? And now you've repped those things all week, and you give that list to the players, and you can play kind of error-free football because there should be really no mistake made. I mean, that's where you get 11 on the same page. So I don't want to over-dramatize it, but I do think it's interesting, mm-hmm. and I think that it has helped the Bears to be have a little bit more offensive conviction, which has helped their rookie quarterback.
So we're not going to over-dramatize it, but I do think it's interesting. And I wonder, learning mm-hmm. that, discovering that this week as you're around the team, does it give you more or less confidence in Shane Waldron? Because that seemed to be something that you would come into the season already doing, but the fact that he pivoted gives you confidence that he can adjust.
And more, absolutely more. Mercedes, my takeaway, it was such a productive meeting because, you know, you have the four captains offensively. Forget the defense for a second. You have Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and Mercedes Lewis. Having this really accepting, that was the word he used, accepting conversation of like, oh yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay, I accept that. I accept this. A lot of accountability. How can we be solution oriented? And so when you're able to have those conversations, and that's why Mercedes, like if you're wondering if you're a Bears fan listening right now, like why is he on? He doesn't play a whole lot. Well, he's basically another coach who's been around a bevy of quarterbacks, and he's one of the smartest people I've ever talked to, you know, in life. So I just think for him to start all this with going to Flus and then, you know, and what would you do, right? You got a rookie quarterback. Do you think Caleb was ready to go in week two and be like, you know, he knows that he has a lot to learn. He told us that. He's got a ways to go in terms of his knowledge of this thing we call the NFL. But I really think it was productive. I think Shane probably was trying to figure out, like, how to coach the rookie phenom, right? Like, so I think that, you know, there was some gray area on both sides, and now you come together and there's a little bit more clarity in the middle, which is, I think, why we're seeing some improvements offensively and more complementary football with the running backs involved.
I think we need to chat about this for a second. I think that people need to understand, listeners need to understand that scripted plays, it's not like you run your first 15 plays, as you're talking about with
yes.
Kevin O'Connell. What you do is you have the word that it was used to me is probing, mm-hmm. probing plays. So in other words, mm-hmm. you have plays that you've practiced depending on the formation, depending on your how you want to present a play, and you can change it based on personnel groupings, etc. But you want to mm-hmm. see how teams are reacting when you do this, do that, and get a feel for whatever their adjustments are going to be. So you're probing them with practiced plays that you're using, and you need a list of you know, most teams have at least 15 of them. I just find that incredible, even if you don't know what the quarterback knows, that you wouldn't have a certain group of plays put in for every game based on what a guy is comfortable with, what they're going to, and that you wouldn't be prepared to use that to open a game. I don't care what a guy knows or doesn't know. It's just, it's almost like it's almost done everywhere in the league.
Yeah. I would love some time to follow up and talk to Coach Waldron about that. I think everybody wanted it. Caleb wanted it. They wanted a vision for the, especially a comfort level to start a game. And again, this was just my conversation with Mercedes. I would like to do more follow up with it, but it's because it's hard to know. I can't sit here and say, well, if you're telling me they didn't have a first 15, that was very surprising. And they wanted more of a run game, and they wanted, so what it's done is it like, it's again, my understanding, they started doing it with the Rams game. And like he said, it felt really good. Like it felt really good. It felt like it felt, you're watching this thing unfold, and it just felt very, they knew
professional.
They knew the call. Like the way they do it in Minnesota, as Aaron Jones described it to me, is they are so detailed with theirs. They're like, Kevin has a priority call sheet, which is like, it's like an 8x11 size. And then he's got the big sheet. So when you're watching a game on TV and you see the coach cover up their mouth, right? Well, they can cover it up with a big, huge call sheet, or it's a small one. Well, when you see the small one or the half size one, that's where they're really going to. Those are the calls, like Aaron said, Jones said to me, they're repping those Wednesday, those special plays that they just know are their bread and butter. And every coach uses them differently. Kyle Shanahan, like I said, he's got a lot of them. Sam Darnold told me he's got like 25. But yeah, I'm just curious to know like why that wasn't happening in the first 3 weeks. I think, you know, I need to go back and look into my notes a little bit too, but like Shane had suggestions, but I'm not quite sure that they knew what could be handled. But again, I need to be able to talk to him to comment on that.
That's a good way to approach it, because you have to wonder, A, did that happen in Seattle? B, did they not do that here because of a rookie quarterback and the fear of giving him too much too soon? Because C, Stacey, it seems like it'd be negligent not to come into a season or any game without that kind of scripted plan, scripted in quotes. But you would think that just any professional offensive coordinator in today's day and age would be more prepared than that, than it makes it sound like the Bears were.
I don't think this is we're not prepared, David. Okay. I don't believe that to be the case. I believe this is, I mean, you got the first overall draft pick, and I think this whole first 5 weeks of the season, the first quarter, I'll say, like unbelievable deep dive into figuring out what everybody likes and how this thing's going to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we can sit here and say, well, what's going on in Washington with Jaden Daniels and this and that. Right. I can't answer that. I'm not there, but this is an entirely different quarterback, entirely different offense. And, struggles. And then what do we want? Well, we've seen momentary football. I still think it's probably going to be more pass-driven offensively, but just think that things is they are so committed out, like truly, that this was what can we do to kind of get a gauge for where he's at and what he's learning.
Yep.
And because he knows the offense, but now it's about like taking the layups and then.
Stacey, Thank you. That is amazing stuff. Really appreciate all the insight.
Losing the connection, but you did a great job. Thank you so much for giving us that insight and that information. That is very interesting context because of the way the Bears have been a different team offensively since the Colts game. And we talked a lot about the meeting where we focused on not walking on eggshells, that part of the conversation between the players and Shane Waldron.
I mean, we honestly talked about how they suddenly decided they were going to use a running game.
Yeah, and I think that's all related to...
Know, did someone go to him and tell him, hey, we got to balance things more, whatever.
It sounds like somebody, if not many people, got to Shane Waldron. You can call it whatever you want to, intervention, meeting.
Wow.
It was a change in direction, though.
That's a wild, wild information. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Four.
Mullen Haw got you ready for Bears Week 6 matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars with experts' analysis from former Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt.
It's overseas. You don't know over there. Yeah. Guys, the food. Guys, someone gets sick. You know, the practice. I mean, a lot of variables for both teams. For both teams when you go overseas. So I'm staying off of it. I mean, I think the Bears will win, but as of now, I'm staying off.
Bolin Krutz.
Bears offense, Bears defense, fun to watch them play at that level and fun to watch them perform and fun to watch the rookie quarterback who we're all watching continue to improve. So you're thinking, man, this is the kind of team they can beat.
Chicago Bear wide receiver, DJ Moore.
It's not a pain. It's an experience. So I'm looking forward to it.
Jared Payton.
Traveling over to London, playing a Jags team that's got one win on the season. It's never easy crossing the pond and playing a football game, getting, try to keep things as normal as possible as Coach Flus was talking about. But this gives them an opportunity to win three straight, and that's a good sign and where this Bears team is right now, but it doesn't get easier as you move on.
Joe Ostrowski.
Caleb Williams has an opportunity to start 4-0 straight up and against the spread as a favorite, which would be unreal.
Bears Tribune beat reporter Dan Wiederer.
Bears defense should be able to continue playing as well as it has through the first five games of the season. And Ryan Nielsen is in his first year coordinating this Jaguars defense. The last time the Bears saw him was on New Year's Eve when the Falcons came to town and Justin Fields and company laid like 430 yards and 37 points on him. And so he plays a heavy dose of man coverage with a secondary that really isn't good enough to play a heavy dose of man coverage. And so there's going to be opportunities all over the place for explosive passing plays.
BetMGM Hawks great Chris Chelios.
I think the Bears are in good shape. But, Caleb Williams again took that great touchdown pass he made. It was a beautiful pass and didn't show a little touch there. So, again, it seems like he's taking steps forward and the team's playing better around him.
Nick Costas.
Bears fans should root for me to keep betting against their team because I'm the idiot here, and I keep losing money betting against them. But I look at this matchup, right, and I think the Bears are going to have trouble with teams that have good defensive lines that can stop the run and have good pass rush, right? And look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong again, and I'll keep losing money on this. And Bears fans, you can revel in my misery.
Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger.
I think he's going to win this game against a team that, finally won a game. And the quarterback and the receiver, Brian Thomas Jr., it was a really strong connection last week. And he's a really good football player. He doesn't play like a rookie. He's about as fast as any receiver I've seen in this league. So they've got some challenges, no question about it.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat reporter Brad Biggs.
Offensively, I think provided the Bears continue to not turn the football over, they've done a real nice job of that here recently. I think there's a clear path to victory. I've got the Bears winning this 27-14, guys.
Joe Fortenbaugh.
It has been Jacksonville money this week. It was about 2.5. Bears were the favorite. They were a 1-point favorite. It got bet all the way up to 2.5. And then we started to see the Jacksonville money come in. Mindset here. Maybe the Bears are a bit overvalued off their last couple of wins against teams that aren't very good. Maybe Jacksonville's a little undervalued based on the slow start. That's where the money is.
Mark Grody.
Remember, I am 5-0. I like to brag. I do. The Bears will win 30-27. And it was 30-24. I'm going 30-27 now with this stuff going on in the secondary. Bears will win.
NFL Network reporter Stacey Dale.
They've started now doing a first 15, and I think it has brought the offensive line together with the run game, together with, you know, the cohesiveness with the perimeter game. And now you're seeing a little bit more of, I don't know if you guys would agree, a little bit more polish as we enter week 6. And I think just that helps with the decisiveness of the quarterback.
Can the Bears win against the Jacksonville Jaguars? Mullen Haw and your reactions to the Bears' upcoming matchup on 670 The Score, the home for Bears fans.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow. I mean, good stuff. I think we both ended up picking the Bears when all was said and done. And how about Grody? Just, you know, 5-0. I'm 5-0.
He picked the Bears as well. I picked the Bears 27-17. I think you had it a little closer.
I did. I had it 24-17, I believe. I'm 5-0 too. I mean, who isn't, Grody?
I am not 5-0.
You're 5-0.
No, I'm not 5-0.
You should be.
Yeah, I didn't pick the Bears.
You're perfect, David.
You are perfect just the way you are. No. Dustin, you're 5-0?
Gosh, no. I've taken the Bears every week.
Oh, all right. Sorry. Brandon.
Took him again. 21-20.
I'm 4-1.
You're Grody. No.
Bears have a challenge, though. It's not going to be as easy as it sounds. 1-4 Jaguars, bad football team, coming into London. They're used to playing there. We've talked about that. The Bears are banged up. Don't know the status of Tevin Jenkins at left guard. They're without potentially two starting secondary members. Tyrique Stevenson now with a calf injury. Matt Eberflus alluded to that at practice today. That he's iffy. And so he's doubtful, I believe, is the designation. And, of course, Jaquan Brisker out. So this is not the Bears at their best at full strength against the Jaguars team they still should beat. But it will be more difficult, maybe.
I am I just need like a whole day to process everything that Stacey Dale said to us. And I need to do 6 interviews with people around the team to figure out exactly what had been happening and what is.
What has thrown you the most?
The idea that they, in the first 3 games of the season, they did not have the usual kind of scripted plays that are designed just to throw teams off to figure out what you can and can't do. I don't care how young a quarterback is. If you cannot come up with a way to set up an opponent, then you're not going to do a lot of winning in the NFL.
I think that something must be lost in translation. I don't question the reporting exactly at all. I don't necessarily know exactly what the Bears are dealing with or were dealing with in terms of pre-game planning and scripted plays. But it's, to me, inconceivable that an NFL team would go into a season and hire a offensive coordinator who has done this job before, and previous information and reporting indicates that Shane Waldron used a scripted first 15 with the Seahawks, but would come to Chicago given the keys to the entire offense with a defensive-minded head coach and not take a similar approach. So maybe it was not as defined as Mercedes Lewis and company wanted it to be. Maybe Shane Waldron was not coaching them to the extent that they wanted to be coached, and they were walking on eggshells, as the terminology was used last week.
Yeah.
But I don't know that the Bears were just kind of going into each game haphazardly without a specific plan of what to do on the opening drive.
I got to be honest with you. I think that Mercedes Lewis is probably the guy we need to talk to at some point. I mean,
well, he's available.
Okay, he's available.
He seems to be available.
All right.
I think he's going to have to answer some questions about some of these things.
Yeah, I would think so for sure, you know. I mean,
I wonder who will be asking them more, reporters who cover the team or the general manager that employs him. I'd want to know, if I were Ryan Poles, exactly how open one of your captains is being in terms of what exactly the information he's sharing.
Yeah, I mean they're you know, you got the good ship Bears is floating into you know, across the ocean, and maybe you got a leak.
Well, that could be the case. I think what's happened since the Colts game is, though, they have addressed it, and it seems to be working.
Yeah.
It seems to be fixed temporarily. How long it lasts, we'll see. But the game plans have been better. They seem to be more defined, and they seem to be more consistent. Stubbornly, they stuck to the running game. They've been more run-pass heavy in terms of the ratio. They have an identity in the red zone.
They've developed an identity, no question.
Their idea of getting too cute or getting cute at all has been converting a center into a fullback and using Doug Kramer in that role. I think that's a good role. I think that's a good move to make too, because you have an offensive coordinator that is evolving and changing as well and willing to change.
The Bears have scored 10 points in the first quarter thus far this season. Needs to be better. And I got to be honest with you, whether it's Caleb Williams as a rookie or what, I think scripted plays would aid them in that. I really do. And, you know, maybe they're setting up something later on, whatever. Did they come into the season not knowing what they were doing at all? Because obviously you didn't get a lot accomplished in the first game of the year. And we've talked about this idea that if you were to go back and play some of these games again, maybe you'd have different results, because it looks as if they are improving as an offense.
They are improving.
But
yeah,
I don't know. It's just a really interesting position to find themselves in right now. And I hope they win this game. I really do, because this is a team that, again, when you look at the entirety of your schedule, this is the kind of game you really need to win in order to have the kind of season you hope to have. I don't know that that you can look at it and feel like you're not kind of advancing in the way you want to if indeed you're not winning games like this.
Well, it's a big game because of how it relates to expectations that we brought into the season. And so far, they seem a little bit outsized if the Bears head into the bye at 3-3. If they head into the bye at 4-2, regardless of how they got there, that's what most people expected. Reasonable people expected the Bears to be 4-2 after six games. This is a soft part of their schedule.
Yeah.
It gets more difficult the longer you go into the season, the further you get into November, and then you start the NFC North portion of it. And the NFC North is now the toughest division in football, statistically and otherwise. You look at the fact there's not a team in that division with a losing record. So when you have an opportunity to beat a team when they're down and the Jaguars are down, you've got to take advantage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, when a team starts losing, and I know they're coming off their first win of the year, but when a team opens as poorly as they have, your responsibility, your coaching, is to direct them to head in the direction that they have already started heading in. So you want to take advantage of anything you can and allow them and allow their damaged confidence to damage them further, if indeed you can get a lead, force them to respond to the way you're attacking them, and then take advantage of a couple turnovers. Protect the ball, we know that. It's been proven. And get a couple takeaways. Defense travels. I get it. They're without a safety. And they may be down a corner as well. So your greatest attribute as a defense is damaged somewhat, your secondary. But this is a team without a good secondary, so it should be a game the Bears win.
It should be a game the Bears win. Sunday morning, 8:30 kickoff. Going to be fun to watch that, however you watch that. Sunday morning, full day of football. A lot of other stuff going on. The Blackhawks back in action tonight in Winnipeg. They have a tough back-to-back because they've got Edmonton tomorrow night. Connor versus Connor, Bedard versus McDavid. The Bulls are at home. Preseason game against the Grizzlies tomorrow night at the United Center. You've got the White Sox maybe interviewing managers. I don't know.
How about that? We didn't even talk about that. You sent that story out from John Heyman, the managers, and you said it. The guys that they're looking at, they're not looking at the best and the brightest. They're looking at guys that, I guess, in fairness, guys that might be willing to take the job.
Phil Nevin, Daniel Descalso, and also I added Clayton McCullough because we heard him before, and A.J. Ellis is a name that you want to keep an eye on. Those are guys without managerial experience as a full-time manager, and they kind of fit the profile that you think that the White Sox would be pursuing, even though I think the short list should be, it bears repeating, Skip Schumacher, David Bell, and David Ross in no particular order. I don't know if they're talking to those guys, but they should be if they want to really convince anybody they're serious about rebuilding with a manager that is proven. So White Sox, Cubs, will be a lot of conversation over the weekend about what Tom Ricketts sent out to a Cub fans and season ticket holders, not sugarcoating it. This was not a good enough season. It was not acceptable. And 83 wins is 83 wins. They didn't get any better. They went nowhere this season.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it on Saturday morning on Inside the Pregame Show.
Inside the Pregame Show / Clubhouse. What time is Bruce on you got with you guys? I can't wait for Olin to ask Bruce a question. That would be fun. But no, that's not going to happen because you guys are preempting the Inside the Clubhouse portion of the program with the pregame show 9 to 11.
We're doing what we're told to do. That's
I know.
All we do. We're not preempting or we're not changing anything.
It's preempting.
It's not our decision, Mr. David. You well know that.
I think
don't create.
I am not creating. That's not a pejorative term. It's preempting. It's just a verb of what's happening. And you are going to be here 9 to 11, a special day and time for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here, presented by Aurelio's, Olin, Patrick Manley, and you, Mully.
Thank you, buddy.
We'll get everyone all set for the game. Then immediately following the game on Sunday, instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show, presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it right here on The Score and the free Odyssey app.
And we should let you know that you are indeed listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday. It's presented by your local Ford dealers and iDot, It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. And next on this beautiful Football Friday, we will have a conversation with our colleagues Dan Bernstein and Marshall Harris. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Mully and Haw on The Score.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.